come back. So we know how language is powerful. We use language as teachers that can harm kids. We're given this gift of language, and it's how we use it. We can either build or we can destroy. We are doing God's work, so we should be reading. We should be studying, because why? We are accountable for every word we say. We as teachers, and not to scare you away, we as teachers have a stricter judgment for the words we say. So what does that tell you? That we better study and we need to read so that we know His word so we can share with the student. So here is the learning process. We know information. Students get information. You're not the only source of information, and we're not the only source of information that they're going to receive, are we? Where is that source coming from? We don't know. But learning process is that when that student receives that information, it's process. That student looks at the similarities, the differences. Where do they learn the similarities? Where do they learn the differences? From home or from social life? Yeah. And then they get it into manageable parts. This is so important as a teacher, that you chunk the information. Don't throw it all at them at once. Every time when I'm teaching these little kids, these fourth graders and third graders and fourth graders, I love them. Awesome. You know, it's like a word. Like when we're reading the word desire, they read it so perfectly. Desire. Then when you ask them, what does it mean? You got students that can read. But comprehending, it's a whole different story, isn't it? Whole different story. So I'll stop there. If I know and I get a sense, hey, they don't understand this word, I'll stop. All right, what do you think desire means? And they go, oh, well, then you go and explain that word, desire, so they can learn it in context. What are you doing? You're teaching them vocabulary, right? So once they've processed this information, they worked it out, then we know that they've learned it when they apply it. When we read the Word of God and we're going through these learning processes, we exercise this learning process, but yet, do we see ourselves applying the Word of God? Do we still get angry? Do we still go out and cuss at these people who run you over in the highway? Do we? Yeah, we still fall, don't we? We're perfect. But again, that whole learning process, that circle there, is the heart and soul of who we are. It's not the body. We learned that already. But what this whole process is Bloom's taxonomy. And I'll go over here in a few minutes and just introducing that word to you, Bloom's taxonomy. How many of you are familiar with that, Bloom's taxonomy? Okay. It's an educational term, but I'm going to introduce it to you and I'm going to explain it to you when we get to it. So here's what's so amazing about language. So amazing. When you see children learning and you see them develop in language. And who's responsible for their learning as a child? They're brazen up. Who's responsible? The parents. You know, this guy that did the training yesterday, he's doing some studies and research. He said that those students who do well in tests are those students who have parents participating in everything that they do. Everything that they do. Because when a parent supports that parent, I mean, when a parent supports that student is known to excel. You gotta help and encourage. If the student fails, that's what he said. I love it because he's speaking my language. If the students fail, let them fail in the classroom. That's what it's for. Wouldn't you rather them fail in the classroom than go out there and fail? Let them fail. Let them learn to experience that failure. And then you show them. I love what he was doing. He had all these activities. He was just boom, boom, correcting that everybody was doing these activities. All these teachers and instructors doing these activities. It's amazing. And I want to get to that point. And I'm hoping and praying that we get to that level. Right now, let's go through the foundation. So, look at this video and see the amazing development of the language.
Tell me what you just said.
I like you when you give me cookies.
You like me when I give you cookies, but you don't like me all the time?
Yeah, no.
Why?
Because I like you, only love you when I give cookies from me.
Oh, so only when I give you cookies do you like me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I love you.
I love you too, but I don't like you all the time.
Okay, thanks.
Isn't that amazing? Amazing, from words of a child. And this is what this whole goal is about. Yeah, we want to go out and teach and get these adults, but we also need help getting the children. Get them early. Because by the time they get to an adult, I'm going to show you another video, that by the time you get to adult, it's so hard now to change their way of learning. Because they've already been engraved in what they believe in. It's hard. But as a child, teach them the Word of God from the beginning. All right, so when does learning begin? We say learning begins when information is received. It's received once information. Does that mean they will learn from that? It all depends on what is received, whether it's good or it's bad. Hey, this guy wants to learn how to deal drugs. He's going to learn it. What they learn depends on who's delivering the message, who's delivering the instruction. So our jobs as teachers is to facilitate the transfer of information so that they can apply it. When they go out there, they experience that. They may run into some failure. You know, I tell these young third graders and fourth graders, I pray, I know that you're going to be going through, as you get older and you get older, you're going to be a teenager, you're going to experience life, disappointments. Don't forget the Lord your God. Please remember that, because they are going to experience disappointment. They are. So we prepare them for the real world. Going to happen out there. So we've all heard, I don't know if you've heard of the learning style theories. Educators, they talk about the learning style theories, that we learn through either visual, we learn through auditory means, or we learn through tactile, our senses. Research is showing that, hey, if teachers were to prepare their lesson plans for the visual learners, for auditors, that they will be successful. Not so. I agree with the theory that, yeah, we have visual, we have auditory, we have tactile learners. Yeah, some of us are more acute to those senses, to those skills, right? But that's not what the Word of God teaches. What do you hear? When you read the Bible, what is it you pretty much read about what we need to do? No, it's good. Read and apply. What else? Somebody said it. That's right. Hearers of the Word. So we cannot ignore the auditory, skills. So what teachers will do, they'll put out this test so that they can find out what kind of learning style their students are. Oh, all right. Well, he's a visual learner, so I'm going to prepare and develop my lesson plan so that I feed them and I teach them because they're visual learners. I want to get more videos, more visuals for this student and feed their eyes.
I have a question.
Yes. Learn, that's a typo. That is a typo. She didn't check my work. She normally checks my work, but I work. That's good. Learning style theories, of course, visual and auditory, tactiles. So the Word of God is saying that we need to be hearers of the Word. We need to teach these students how to use their hearing. So what is this? That's okay, right? What does it mean? It means okay, right? It all depends on my body language, which we'll be talking about in the next session when we develop. Well, three, but we'll say it's okay, because everybody agrees, okay, that's what I'm going to say. If I go, so-so, right? But if I go, what does that say? Great job, right? Did I say anything? No, it's our inward language that's communicated through our bodies, right? So take this okay sign, okay? Make an okay sign like this. Take your right hand and make an okay. Take your right hand, make an okay sign. Take your right hand and make an okay sign. Your right hand. Now, without hitting your neighbor, extend your right hand over like this, without hitting your neighbor. Now bring it over and touch your chin. Okay, I said chin, not cheek. So we need to improve our listening skills. And some of them did it. Some of them did chin. That's good. They listened to chin. But I said chin, not cheek. But you were following. You were just following with eyes. You see how prone we are to just looking at visuals, looking, and we're not listening. Why does God have to remind us? Listen. Listen, be hearers, listen to my words. How many times do you see that in Scripture? Yes. Paying attention, of course. Well, to hear, you got to pay attention. Very true. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So let's go on. Here, remember I told you Bloom's taxonomy. It's an educational term that they use. Teachers pretty much develop their lesson plans using the Bloom's taxonomy. So what they're saying is that, hey, remembering, we got these are the different levels of learning and thinking that Benjamin Bloom headed with a group of educational professionals, and they developed this Bloom's taxonomy classification of the levels of intellectual behavior that kind of relates to the way we think. We do remember, we do need to understand, and we new need to apply, and we do need to analyze and evaluate and create. That is what our whole being is, how we are created in the image of God. We're not God. We're not. But we're created in His image. And Pastor Brian said this here in one of his teachings, if you guys remember, if you can remember a few of those here, that we are created in His image. Ability to what? To create as well. We do have that ability. Like, for instance, I was sharing with Andrea there, my whole passion when I was in high school was I wanted to become an architect, but I couldn't. Why? I didn't do so well with English. I didn't do so well in math. It was horrible. So that whole dream just got shut down. But we do have that ability to do. So that's us right here. What we're going to do is us. What we're going to do today. But what does that mean? When we're remembering, we want to remember things that we're doing. So I'm using the example of Joseph's lives. I'm using Joseph's lives as an example. When we remember, we should be able to describe Joseph's lives. How many of you know Joseph? You all know Joseph, the story of Joseph, correct? So with Joseph, you think in your mind, you can describe Joseph's life. You can. What was his life like? Right? And then to understand, you could summarize Joseph's life and Joseph's character. What was his character like? We know that he was presented with a temptation, wasn't he? We know that. To apply this, hey, can we construct a theory as to why the Lord placed Joseph in prison without cause? Can we construct a theory? Why do you suppose he was put in prison without cause? Why? Any reason? Say again? Strengthen his character. That's a good one. It's a theory, right? We come up with ideas, right? See how we have the ability? The mind is amazing, what the Lord created us to be. Analyze, differentiate between how Joseph reacted and how you would react in Joseph's experience. How would you react if you were sent to prison? Would you get angry? Oh, no, why me, Lord? No, did Joseph? Will he do that? So, and then to evaluate and assess whether or not you think this really happened to Joseph, is it true? Do you believe it? This is where our problem can become. We can teach this story to kids, whether they believe it or not. That's a decision they have to make. But we have to model that belief. We have to show we believe it too. Words are so powerful, but it's how we communicate it. Let me do this here. What's that say? Me too. What's that mean? It doesn't really have a meaning, really. But if I said it like this, hey, I'm going to Disneyland. Me too, right? How about this? I just lost a child last year. Me too. Same words, different meaning, huh? This is why it's so important that you can read the Bible and you need to continue reading it to get its full meaning. Because who gives you the wisdom for the meaning? Our Lord. And guess what? As teachers, what he does to me, you better be ready for the experience. Because you're going to go through some tests. Because how can you teach if you don't sell yourself, go through some of the experience of what you're going to be teaching? But don't be scared, okay? Remember, don't be scared. Be encouraged. Okay, the last one here, create, compose a song, skit, or poem to convey Joseph's in a new form. Now, that whole idea of music, it's, some teachers are now using music in the classroom. Why? Why? Say again? That's right. You remember it. You know, and we see that example in the Lord. We do that. With the Israelite people, they keep complaining, oh, Lord, here we are. We're taken to the wilderness. I wish we were back in Egypt. I wish we... And what does the Lord finally tell Moses? Moses, write this and make it a song. The lyrics aren't really nice. They're not really nice lyrics. They're pretty hard lyrics. But he asks us to put it in song. And now we got teachers in the classroom that are using music to help motivate the students. I mean, you could walk for the women. When I go, my wife, and she's shopping, and you go to these women's clothes stores, what are they playing? Music. And they have this nice upbeat music. Why? Get you in the mood. Get you in the mood to motivate, to buy. Hey, they're not, listen, they're in business. They want to get you to buy. They want to get you to buy. All right, so we know that. Processing information is affected by how the teacher organizes the information. This is so important. Very important. So we are the source. We have to prepare information. Remember one thing that if I could remember anything from going to college for getting my teaching degree, is chunk the information. If you're making a pot of beans, are you going to give your child a whole pot of beans? No. You're going to what? Serve them a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. You got to give a little bit of time. So in order for that child, or even us, to process the information, chunk it. So, if we don't, bad teaching can become this.
I figure 75% to you, Pa and Ma, and 25% divided between the five of us, Yinda, Crowbar, myself, Tom, and the baby. That makes 5% for each one of us.
Billy, you're cheating yourself. If there's 25% divided among the five of you, that's 14% apiece.
Oh, no, listen, Pa. I wouldn't cheat you. You know I wouldn't. Now, look. Look here. I'll show you. Let me rub this out here. And now, 25 divided by 5 is 5. You see, 5 won't go into 2, will it? No. But 5 goes into 25 5 times, you see?
No, you're wrong, Billy. Now, I'm a pretty good mathematician. Now, 5 into 25... 5 won't go into 2, will it?
No.
But 5 goes into 5 once. Now, we didn't use the 2 before, so we bring it down here. Now, 5 into 20 goes 4 times. There you are. 5 into 25, 14.
No, look, Pa. Now, let me prove it to you now by multiplication. 5 times 5. 5 times 5 is 25.
Billy, I'm surprised you're learning.
Huh?
I'm surprised that you're learning. Now I'll show you. 5 times 14 is 25. 5 times 4 is 20. 5 times 1 is 5. 25. That's it.
No. Look, Ma. See, look, you're wrong there because... I'll prove it to you. We'll put down 5 14s here. 14, 14, 14. There. Now, I'll prove to you by addition that 5 14s is not 25. 4, 8, 12, 16, 20.
21, 22, 23, 24, 25. There you are. Better brush up, Billy. I don't want to see you boys cheated.
This is what we're confronted with in life. We have students or even people or adults that have been taught a different thing for many years. It's an engraved. And you could teach them something new. Teach them the word. Teach them about God. And yet they become resistant because, no, that's the way I learned. I experienced this because I used to be Catholic. I used to be Catholic. And I experienced this even with my own family. Oh, they don't want to hear anything about what I have to say. Nothing. I'm a Catholic. That's it. Don't gonna tell me anything about your Lord or Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Don't tell me anything. I'll go to Mass. That's good. They become so resistant. So what's our approach? What's our approach? That's right. Love. You can't just say, oh, I forget you. No, it's learning process. Is a crucial thing in how we deliver the message. If we're not delivering it in love, then they're not going to receive it. They're not going to accept it. So look at this. God tells us already about this. The parable of the seed. You know, I was telling Elke, I don't need to speak in parables like when I do my training. We can just go ahead and speak outright here. Now, the parable is this. He explains to his disciples, the seed is what? The word of God. We are now to plant the seed. Give the seed. Because who makes the seed grow? God. He makes it grow. We are called to go out and plant the seed. We don't just, hey, plant it and leave them alone. No. We got to continually. It's perpetual. Got to continue. Yeah, my sister sometimes she gets tired of hearing me. You know, and whenever, I guess just through my actions, she can see that I'm giving her a message. But so here's it. Why do you speak to the people in parables? That's what his disciples ask. He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. So here we are. We don't need to speak in parables. You're willing to accept that treasure. But you didn't learn that if you're going out to a school, you need to learn how to speak in parables. Believe me, when you're speaking in parables where you have the word of God and you're intertwined it with what you're doing, what you're saying, They're going to get it. They're going to get it. I know it. Because when I have an audience full of educators, full of professors, they get it. They understand. For those who believe. So the mind has an appetite to learn. The hungry mind is a mind actively searching and seeking and finding joyful activities. But it's what? It's related and it's connected to the desires of your heart. So if I have a desire to go drink alcohol, where am I going? My mind's always going to be thinking that. My mind's going to always be thinking that. All we've got to do is be mindful of the Lord. So what is our approach? Okay, it's what I tell my instructors and my teachers. You are a chef. You're preparing the meal for these students to eat. We had students, we were sitting down, we had student government in a session, and we had teachers there. And the student government was saying, hey, we did a survey, and we were surveying the teacher performance, and this is what we found. These students are saying this. It's these teachers, and they were naming the teachers. Teachers, they're not helping us, they're not caring, they're not showing us, and teachers, and some of the teachers were getting defensive. And so he said, well, how can we teach if you guys don't want to learn? I said, well, let's stop right there. It's your fault. You're the teacher. You're to prepare the lesson for these students. If you made your classroom like a restaurant and you prepared the lesson like a restaurant, they're going to want to come back to your restaurant. They're going to want to come back to your classroom. You know, and I went back this Friday. I was there, and I saw that same teacher. Guess what? Oh, so motivated. Mr. Serrato, oh, look at what I brought into the classroom. Oh, they love it. He brought this game called the Rat Race, where they learned about real-life experience of how to invest money. Oh, I thought it was a great, great tool. So he said he has his students all engaged in this class, learning about how to invest. They get an actual salary, and then they have to spend that salary. And then they may land on a card that says, hey, oh, you're bankrupt. What are you going to do now? It's a great, great tool. And what are they doing? They're learning math in a fun way. So again, you're a chef. So you're teaching to the heart, the mind, the soul, not the body. Don't let the body deceive you, because you're going to have, like we have, kids, earrings, dressed in black. They have all these tattoos to try to intimidate the teacher. Don't let those things make you afraid. So again, why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. We got to teach the heart, the mind, soul. That's the whole makeup of the individual. Don't be looking at the outward appearance. Here's another one where the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. With a point of diamond, it is engraved on the tablet of their heart. Right. So, again, he says, teach you the heart. Another one, but I want you to go. What are the targets? What are we targeting to change and to modify? What is it we're trying to change? What is it that we want to change? We want to change and educate the heart. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but the Spirit of the living God. We are walking epistles. We are. We're language that we have read. We're language that we are applying in our life from the Word of God. It's hard, isn't it? It is hard. Very hard. Because you're put through these moments that are tough. Yeah. So, again, words, hearts. We have another scripture here. But, again, this world shall pass away. This world shall pass away, but not his word, is it? Not his word. Here's the thing that I want to go back to. What about the good body? Do we have a description of Christ? Do we have a description of Christ? We like to think of a man, nice, handsome man with blue eyes and all that. But look at what Isaiah 53:2 says about Christ. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root of all the ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. What is it that we'll desire? What is it that we'll desire? His word. His word. So, again, the fall, we saw the fall, closing it up, that the law was given to us to learn, to read, to give us a guidance. And then, of course, the law was fulfilled by who? By Christ. Christ came and gave grace and mercy with the law. So if he's giving us grace and mercy, then we need to execute the same thing to our students. That is what we are, who we are as a teacher, is our approach: grace, love, mercy. If you're coming in like what I used to, I was a horrible, horrible instructor before, where I thought, okay, well, lift weights, bodybuild, and then what I'll do is I'll intimidate them. No, that's not the right way. And I was really mean too, really mean. But that's not what we teach them, with love, grace, and mercy. So I'm going to ask you this. What scripture can we recall and view as a call to go teach others to repent and learn about the good news? Say again? See, that's a good one.
I like the Last Supper when he says, for no servant is better than his master, or something like that. Like,
okay.
At the Last Supper, to love one another.
And okay. John 3:16 is one, and then that one I'm not sure, but I know which verse you're talking about.
It was the Last Supper, yeah. He says, like, remember when he went to wash Peter's feet, and he said, I can't wash your feet, and he says, and he gives them the whole story about, like, the teacher's not better than the,
right, right,
than the master.
Right. That's a good one.
Go and make disciples of all nations.
Good. That's another one. Going to the world, preach the gospel. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm going to give you one. You guys know it. You know it. You know it. I'm going to start it. And you guys finish it. You got it? It's so important, because when you realize the scripture that I know you know, you're going to realize, wow. Okay, that is true, because it was for me. Here you go. Father, forgive them. What is it? Say it. For they know not what they do. Here he is on the cross, looking down. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's our calling to what? To what? Calling us to go teach. Because they don't know what they do. Do they? You know. So what I see, and I've shared this with my wife, sometimes when I read, I like to just when I travel, I tell her, I hug my Bible, you know, because that's him. It's Word. And it's funny that I found this. God's Word. Does God have a form that we could see? No, it's God's word. You see.